Very good morning to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So just now we didn't finish, halfway. The question by Brother Wong is very good. Here he asks about the co-relationship between Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta followed by Anatta Lakkhana Sutta. So his question is very important because he realized that Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta didn't have anything to do with the five aggregates of form and mind as proclaimed by the Buddha under the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta. Then I have explained to you why he proclaimed the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta first, because it's about the Four Noble Truths and its returning, the essence of the Buddha's teaching. And the reason why in the first sermon, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, how come only Kondanya become a Sotapan? And how can he become a Sotapan if he don't break the first fetter of Sakkayaditti? So this is a very good question. So I will have to explain to you why, because there is a Jataka story behind. During the early days of cultivation, when Bodhisattva was a hermit, I think, not really a hermit, he meditated in the jungle, you call them what? Maybe ascetic, there's another name, sometimes they call them yogi, he's full of beard, everything, no, not shaved and all the same. But that time, he was cultivating the perfection of Kanti, patience. So at that time, according to the Jataka story, there was a king, King of Kaliga. That King of Kaliga later on became Kondanya, one of the five wise men that predict whether the newborn baby of the king will become a great ruler or a great world teacher. Of all the five, Kondanya is the youngest, and he predicted Sakyamuni Buddha will be a world teacher. That's why he followed him. So he is also, in the past, the king of Kaliga. So when he went for the hunting trip in the forest, the king and his entourage, they went and do their hunting housing. Then the queen, the concubine, or the lady went around. Then they saw this ascetic, or this yogi. They find him so weird, full of beard, hair, not shaven, but emit very good metta and good energy. So they gather around him, curious, and talk to him. And he explained to them that he is practicing a perfection called Kanti Parami, perfection of patience. So when the king came back, he cannot find his queen and concubine. So the general told him, they are there listening to one ascetic. So being a king, very arrogant, he went there. Then he checked with the general, what are they trying to explain to my queen and concubine? He said, he tell them he's practicing patience. So the king, very arrogant, he said, oh, practice patience, okay. He tell the queen and the concubine, set aside. Then he talked to the ascetic, which is Bodhisattva Sakyamuni Buddha in the past. He said, I heard you have perfected your patience, you are very patient. So Sakyamuni at that time was a Bodhisattva. He said, yeah, okay, I want to test you. He gathered his men, put the four horses, tie one to the each to both the hand and both the leg. He said, I see how patient you are. I will ask them to pull you apart. Sakyamuni Buddha smiled. He said, no problem. He said, go ahead. Then he really tear the pair of hand leg apart from the body. Then what happened was, the Sakyamuni Buddha's body with the head still there. No? He said, if at the moment when the king's soldier tear his body apart, if there is not a single trace of suffering or anger, then he invoked the power of Maria. May my limbs come back to me. You know what happened? All the limbs came back. The king got a shock. Straight away came down on the horse, pay respect and honor him. But Sakyamuni Buddha was very good. At that time as a bodhisattva, he said, O king, don't worry. Since you are the one that allowed me to perfect my perfection, finally, I will take you across, he said. You will be the first to be taken across when I become a Sammasambuddha. That's why he got the condition to become a Sotapan. Understand or not? Although Anatta Lakkhana Sutta was not spoken, but the Buddha knew the other four actually got the condition. But they cannot penetrate because they don't know the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta. So this Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, you listen, maybe quite a number of you were also awakened. Yeah. It's very simple, not that difficult. Based on what I share and what Anatta Lakkhana Sutta shared by the Buddha, you can awaken actually. So what you need to understand is, under this teaching, Sakyamuni Buddha's teaching, you have these three things, Atta, Anatta. Then the last one is Attaniya. I think most of you heard of this, but you haven't heard of this. True or not? Huh? You know what is this, eh? Self. Okay? Then? Non-self. Then what is this? No self, not non-self. Well, this is the other extreme. They say there is no such thing as a self, is it? Because some of them believe in a self theory during the ancient India time. And some of them believe there is no such thing. Everything is like animating, is it? Die already means gone, nothing. So Sakyamuni Buddha, after he became enlightened, he realized these two are the extreme that you shouldn't actually follow. So his understanding of non-self is, he said the human being or the living being, the fiery or form and mind, under the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, he explained very clearly. He said, this human being, the five aggregate of form and mind, if itself means what? Is a permanent, unchanging entity. Permanent, unchanging entity. Which means, you have control on the sana. It's permanent and changing. I want it to be forever young. Don't get old, don't get sick, don't die. It listens to you. This body shall not be such and such. But as you all know, in life, that's why he told the five ascetic, is it self? They cannot answer. Then the Buddha told them, if it's self, it will not tend towards suffering. True or not? True or not? It will never change, isn't it? But how come you go through life, you see this physical body and the form of mind tends towards suffering? So how can he be a permanent unchanging entity? That's why he realized this is dependent originating, the human being. I'm very crude, I'm not an artist. So this human being or living being is not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why he said this one tends towards suffering. Then he said, is this that tends towards suffering permanent or impermanent? Definitely impermanent. You see it getting old, getting sick, finally die. Then everything goes the way of nature. Which means this one is like any phenomena is dependent originating. You understand? That's why because it is of the nature to change through the process of impermanence, it will lead to pain, understand or not? Then finally, when he mentioned these two, he came out with a final one. He said, then is it right for you to deludedly claim that this is you? Because this one tends towards suffering and is impermanent. Like what I taught you all, you cannot grasp onto it, cling onto it, and hold onto it and say, this is me, this is I. Therefore, all this can be mine. Because even you is just an entity dependent originating. When the entity ceases to be, how can you own things? And how can this entity which is impermanent be you? Understand? No? It come and it go, dependent originating. Whereas this one is completely without anything. He doesn't believe anything. But the Buddha said, no. This one is in between. It is not self, that's why non-self, but it is not nothingness. Understand? No? There are things. This one is karmically conditioned for you to arise in the existential world, to go through the karmic process, to do what you want to do in life, and to experience whatever that you need to go through. Fulfill your vow, develop your cultivation, all those things. That's why he said there is something, not totally nothing, understand? But this one is not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why this one is not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why this one is not self. So when you have this understanding, then you come to understand the concept of anatta, which is so beautiful. If it's not me, means I don't have to worry about it, getting old, getting sick and die, isn't it? True or not? Then why a lot of people grieve, oh, ayo, I'm so sick, I'm so old, I'm about to die. How did their fear arise? Self-delusion, understand not? Sakkayaditti. So mindfully, with mindfulness, wisdom, and understanding, observe, contemplate. If you have pure awareness, very easy to understand this. Like I explained to you, the form and mind, the five aggregate. No need to even follow Lakana, Anatta Lakana Sutta. Take the feeling, perception, Sankara and Vijnana. If it's me, feeling arise and pass away or change from pleasant to unpleasant feeling. Did I die? I didn't die there. So how can feeling be me? If feeling is not me, perception is not me, Sankara is not me, my state arise and pass away is not me, dependent originating, consciousness arise and pass away, I didn't die. It cannot be me, isn't it? If it cannot be me, then this entity which is not a permanent unchanging entity, combine the physical that goes away of nature, only element, no knowing, how can it be me? Understand not? That's why straight away understand this fellow is not me. Or through the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta also, you should wake up. This one, which tends towards suffering and impermanent, is it right for you to say, this is me, this is I? Therefore, all this can be mine. That is how you break Sakkayaditti. Understand now? See clearly. Understand it. And that's how the other four ascetics become arahant. Why they become arahant? Actually, they immediately become arahant is because they already have the cultivation in the past. They have the good root already. But they only need to break sakayatiti, the first fetters. Then the rest of the fetters very easy already. Understand? Once they break this, they know, he know you, he know me. Like in the Hatsutta, no one born, no one die. No one sick, no one old. Then you don't have to worry about this. But this one, subject to law of karma, understand now, within the existential world. That's why you have to do your duty. The four, right conduct of an enlightened being or the disciple. What are the four? Of good conduct is the order of the disciple of the Buddha. Of upright conduct is the disciple of the Buddha. Of wise conduct is the disciple of the Buddha. The last one? Of dutiful conduct, you must do your duty. Even though not real. Not a permanent unchanging entity, not you. But this one is subject to karma. And every life you arise, you need this one with its karmic nature to support you to live life, to have the good life. Otherwise, suffering will follow you, following Dhammapada was one, if you continue to be hidden. And this is the secret of life. When you understand this, you understand life, you can live. That's why you were awakened. Yeah. How many of you are awakened? No need to laugh, contemplate into it until very, very clear, then very, very stable. Then one day you just awaken. Yeah, all along, how come I'm so foolish? How can this be me? I already explained so many times. You have gone through life for eons and eons of birth and death and that. Every segment of this, which one is you? Huh? None of them are you, understand or not? You mean you born as an animal that follow you? Or a demon in the hell realm? Is it you? All these are segments of rebirth, understand or not? Condition arising. After so long, like that, what sutta already, where they misappropriate the offering of the Sammasambuddha in the previous Tirukkudha Sutta. Tirukkudha Sutta. They went down to hell for so long, until when they take rebirth in the Peta realm, they got no more friend, understand, except the king. Means, nobody remember you. Even the king also don't remember them, understand? But the Sammasambuddha know, that's why they ask them to request from him. And then the king was given the psychic ability to see. The moment he idang menya tinang ho tu, this peta came out. Transfer of merits. That's why all this is what the teaching is all about. So with that, you understand why the Buddha is so wise. Why he proclaimed the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta first, because that is his core teaching, the essence of his teaching. And from there, all his essential Dhamma spin off from the Four Noble Truths and his threatening. All the teaching spin off from there. Then to break free from Sakayaditi is to sever the first fetter that binds you in samsara. And that is to break free from self-delusion. That's why you must understand this anatta characteristic of nature. What is anatta? Not a permanent and changing entity. Means everything that arises within the existential world is dependent originating, condition arising. There is a condition world. If it's dependent originating, condition arising, there is no reality, understand not? There's an empty nature of existence. So this anatta nature is not only non-self. The main understanding is it is not a permanent, unchanging entity. Not a permanent, unchanging entity. And finally, is empty nature of existence. M O E B means no reality. Everything dependent, originating, condition, arising, come and go, come and go. It's a phenomenal world, illusionary world, not what you think. Can you understand? Loudly. You are otherwise how to really penetrate.
Would like to add an observation for my, when I see Atta Anatta and Atta Niya, what stands out is the idea of an Atta for me signifies the wanting to control, the ability to fully control my life, to chart my life, to plan and have everything go my way. That is what self means to me. Atta. Atta Niya means everything is out of my control. I cannot do anything. Nothing. Everything, leave it. You know, like leave it to fate and everything, just don't care. Don't bother. So I see that as the two extremes for me. Then Anatta is recognizing all the supporting causes and conditions and to live life, embracing all the changes and flowing with it. Yeah, instead of trying to plan and force.
Very good.
Yeah, a controlled life. Yeah, thanks.
Sadhu. Let's rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu. So that understanding also very important, because when you understand these two are not a reality. The reality is this guy does exist, but it's not a permanent, unchanging entity. That's why Sui finally know that this one is subject to nature's law that governs life and existence. He had to embrace everything. Means you have to accept the reality of the existential world, conditional world. Condition like that, things will be like that. When you accept, you got no more problem. Then you act. Act with what? You do your duty in accordance with the nature's law. You don't go against the nature's law, which the law of karma, law of mind, law of truth. Otherwise, you suffer. So this is the core understanding. Then when you understand, it becomes very beautiful. Not me, yet I can understand it and make use of it to come and to live life and to experience all of the pristine beauties and wonders of life. Then I can live life to the fullest. Then I don't have to worry about it getting old, getting sick and die. Because this is a karmic conditioning, understand? If I take care of karma, karma take care of my life, I will have the good life. That's why not necessary to suffer. If you don't have the Dhamma understanding, you don't do your duty, then you get yourself into trouble. You entangle yourself and suffering arises. So when suffering arises, you cannot blame anybody. The Buddha said we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned by our karma, and we are what we are because of our karma. So take care of karma, understand? Your whole entire life is 99.99% governed by this karmic law. So when you understand this, you don't have a problem. Then you can live. That is how enlightenment in the here and the now arrives. Then you will come to know no reality. Finally, think also like that, don't think also like that. Then this sankhara will cease. Then it realizes the unconditioned nibbana, then it causes this pure awareness also to cease. That's how you realize the unconditioned. Okay? Yeah. Sadhu. Okay, 5 more minutes. Any more questions? So, Brother Wong, I answer you. Okay, now I will set the alarm. You can develop your awareness-based meditation. Just cultivate it. Give it a try. Then when you get it, you will jump with joy.